Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message. All right, man. I know right now you are behind that screen and you are cheering. You are excited. Maybe you saw your favorite movie there. In fact, go ahead, take a moment and comment right now. One of those movies that you're most excited for. We're getting ready to launch our At the Movie Summer Series, and we're going to be looking at all different movies all summer long and discovering God's truth for our lives in those movies. Next week, we're going to have something real special for you to take home with you so that you can invite people out to join you. But we want to give you a little bit of a teaser, a little trailer there, and to get you excited about this series. Today, we're continuing Rebuild My Life, and this past week, I was in a time of prayer and of study, and it was good. It was like one of those where I knew the revelation was coming. I was engrossed in prayer, and I love to pray in the morning time, typically when it's most quiet in my house. My kids were up at this point, and I was praying in our separate room, and all of a sudden I hear from the other room this shout, "I'm never ever playing Barbies with you again." I'm like, "Hold on a second, Jesus, I'll be right back." And I'm still trying to pray, and I'm still just having my moment with God. And then I hear, "Well, I'm never, ever playing Legos with you again." And I'm like, all right, something's going on out there. Let's just see if I can pray it away before I have to step in as a parent. And it gets louder and louder. It's, "Well, I'm never playing Barbies. I'm never playing Legos. I'm never playing Barbies." And there's just this shouting match happening. So I'm completely out of his presence at this point. The spirit has been quenched by my children. And so I'm like, all right, let me take care of this. Because if you're a parent of two or more, you know that when there's shouting matches like that, the next words that are going to start coming out of each other's mouth is typically, "Ouch. Ouch, ouch, ouch." And then tears will ensue. So I'm like, let me see if I can get in before they go from words to fists. And the second I step in the room, before I even say anything to either of them, they both stop yelling at each other and they start yelling at me. I'm like, I didn't even have anything to do with whatever this is. This is a moment of sin. I was in his presence. I don't know what. And they just start turning their yells at me. And it's, "Well, he did this and she did that." No, he started it, she started it. And they were just yelling at me. And they're blaming each other. And so I stepped in and we had some conversations. I mean, I love my kids. I feel bad for my kids at times. Being the kid of a pastor, my discipline always involves preaching a full-length message. So I'm like, all right, sit down. We're starting in Genesis. Adam and Eve blamed each other. This is how it all started. And so we went there. But I was thinking about that moment as I was reading through our text for this Sunday. And I recognized this. This is something I just kind of crafted and just pulled out. That we blame when things go wrong, and we boast when things go right. It's not just children that do that. It's just in our nature that if things go wrong, then I have a tendency to blame someone else for my issues, to blame someone else for my circumstances. But if things are going pretty good, I'm going to take the credit for it. I'm going to boast a little bit about it. I'm going to make sure that people understand that I've worked hard to achieve what I now have. Think about in your own life, right? We're in this series, Rebuild, and I've been praying for you, and I'm believing that this isn't just content we're taking in, and oh, this is a long series, we're working through Nehemiah. No, this is our seventh Sunday, and I'm truly believing and praying that you've been taking time over these months to identify areas and say, yeah, my relationships really need some rebuilding. My physical health really needs some rebuilding. My finances really need some rebuilding. My walk with God really needs rebuilding. But in any of those areas and any others you can think of, when things aren't going right, don't we blame others, right? It's just normal. If our finances are a wreck, well, we blame the fact that we couldn't get a job or we couldn't buy certain things or all of this. And some of it, there are things that are outside of our control. And when I'm not eating right, I blame my schedule. Well, it's not my fault. I have to have food this late and I have to eat this. It's the only time that it works. And when things aren't going right in my relationship, you know whose fault it is? Amy's, right? It's just, well, this is why. And we tend to blame and look outward with our careers, with our not getting the promotion. Well, here's why they got it and I didn't get it. And again, there are absolutely moments in our lives where external circumstances are fully in effect. And for most of us, many of us, we're dealt the hand that we're dealt in life. And it's like, what do we do now? But I have found, and you could be honest today, that there are moments where I tend to shift the blame on others instead of owning the responsibility of poor choices or of decisions that I make. But again, if there are good things happening in my life, if my marriage is going well, I'll be, babe, do you notice how kind I am today? Do you notice how thoughtful I am? Do you see how much time I spent with the kids today? And it's like we want to boast about that. Do you see how well I'm doing physically? Do you see how well we're doing financially? Look at how good we are at these things. And we boast when things go right. Now, today I'm not going to spend the next 25 minutes convincing you not to boast, because I think that's important. And we can all understand, just to kind of define some terms here, I'm going to talk about a word and a sin that creeps into our heart very easily, especially when we are in a rebuild phase of our lives, when we are accomplishing goals and fulfilling dreams. But I just want to lay a framework for us to work on. Okay, the word we're going to talk about is pride. And so on the getting off of this message, I want you to understand, there is healthy pride, okay? There is pride where it doesn't lean into that arrogance and that boasting. And I want us to understand that. But the pride that we see so often in culture and the pride that so easily creeps into our hearts is the kind that removes God from the picture. The kind that kind of sets us up as God. That says, well, I've done all of this. I accomplished all of this. I worked hard for all of this. And that's what I want to take a shot at today. That's what I want God's word to reveal in our hearts. That level of pride, of boasting, and shifting blame to others when things aren't going the way that we dreamed or want, it is so unhealthy. And it truly is a recipe for destruction. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction, and haughtiness before a fall. And so as you're making progress in your life over these 7 weeks, as you are rebuilding and maybe starting new things, and now the summer is here, and you might have aspirations or goals for the summer months, or maybe now we're kind of entering now phase three, and it's like things are opening back up. Okay, I want to take today to just expose the potential for pride in our lives. Because God's word just said that pride goes before destruction. And how devastating would it be if we spend all of this time rebuilding, and then pride gets into our hearts only for us to experience destruction, only for us to experience a fall, only for us to experience this full letdown. We worked so hard, and then we're destroyed. So I want to look at the story of Nehemiah, and I want to explore what they did when the wall was completed, when they had the potential for pride and the opportunity to kind of just showcase all that they had worked on and instead see what they chose to do. So the title of today's message is You Did This. You did this. In fact, online family, why don't you comment that phrase right now? Just go ahead and leave a comment. You did this. And here, let's say this to one another with some attitude. You did this. You did this, right? There's a married couple sitting in this section that was pretty aggressive with how they said that to each other. Right, you did this. But today I want to get a you did this attitude into our hearts to kind of push against an I did this attitude, a pride attitude, an attitude that says, look at how great I am. Because if we can prevent destruction as we keep rebuilding, I truly believe that's God's plan for our lives as we continue to follow him and live out biblical principles. So Nehemiah, as we've been exploring, he was cupbearer to the king of Persia. He heard how Jerusalem's walls were broken down. Prior to this, Ezra had led some people back to Jerusalem, and they had tried to reestablish the temple system. And then a man named Zerubbabel came, and he led more groups of exiles back. And then finally, Nehemiah leads exiles back into Jerusalem for the purpose of setting up the walls and the gates to build some protection around the city. And so we saw that Nehemiah, he had to overcome a lot, and it's very similar to our own stories, that he needed God's provision in his life, that there was opposition that he was faced with, that there was a potential for a repeat pattern. Nehemiah could have followed the other governors and just kept taxing the people and hurting people, and we learned in week 5 that we don't conform to the patterns of this world. And last week we had Pastor Craig Rochelle share with us that message of how to shut the door on distractions. That when Sanballat and Tobiah, these men and others who kept coming to Nehemiah to distract him, to get him off his calling. And so today I want to pick up the story where the wall is completed and the question is, now what? Right? It's kind of like, okay, we rebuilt the wall. We're going to see how many days it took them, and we rebuilt it. Now what do we do? How do we celebrate? What's next now for our lives? And so we're going to read a little bit in Nehemiah chapter 6, and then we're going to go into chapter 8. But chapter 6, verse 15, 16 says, "So the wall was completed, it was finished on October 2nd, 52 days after we had begun." Now we pause there for a second, because as we heard Pastor Craig share last week, this book of Nehemiah is not filled with any overt miracles where there's this supernatural experience where angels come and build the wall for the people, or there's any talking fire bushes or parting of the Red Sea or anything else. There is hard work. There is a God-given vision. There is obedience. But that does not diminish the fact that this was a miracle to complete a wall rebuild in 52 days. I mean, we live on Long Island. How long does it take for us to do road work and construction here? Right? It's like, when is Horse Block going to be opened again? We do not know. And maybe you've been in projects before where you've had contractors say 4 to 6 weeks, and then it's 4 to 6 months, and then it's 4 to 6 years, and then you sell the house before they finish it. I don't know if it works that way. But we know, like, okay, construction projects tend to take some time. Here it is. They rebuilt a wall to a city in 52 days. That's a big accomplishment. Verse 16 says, "When our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated." I love that. I just picture Sanballat and Tobiah being so humiliated because they had tried for almost 2 months to get Nehemiah and the people off plan, off the course. And now they're frightened. They're humiliated. Why? Well, they realized this work had been done with the help of our God. There's a recognition that the enemies of the Jewish people have, and it's a recognition that I'm praying you and I would have today as we complete projects, as we finish things that we've started 7 weeks ago, as we rebuild, as we work hard. We said at the beginning of this series that day 52 was July 8th. We're coming up on that in just a couple weeks. And I'm believing that miracles are going to be taking place in your life. And I've been experiencing them over this time of prayer. I still have my phone wallpaper that we set out at the beginning. May your gracious hand be upon us. Give your servant success today. So July 8th, 2020 is day 52. Well, these guys, they finished the wall rebuild in 52 days, and they recognized this. It said, this work had been done with the help of our God. This work, this completing the wall, had been done because God showed up. Not because we were great. Not because we really had anything to do with it. We were just obeying the call of God. We were following the vision that Nehemiah cast. But you want to know why it was completed? You want to know who gets the glory for this project? God does. God does. And think about the potential that they had in this moment. Right? They had their haters. They had Sanballat and Tobiah. They had people who were coming after them and telling them, "You're never going to finish it." Remember that little throwing shade moment that we saw? A fox could tear that thing down. I don't know what that means, but that's what Tobiah said to him. That's not a stable wall. Even a fox could walk across that. They went through those motions. How easy would it have been in this moment for Nehemiah to get the whole Jewish people up on the wall and just start saying, "Bring out Sanballat. Get him out here. Tobiah, where are you now? You didn't believe in us. You thought that we were going to stay down. You thought we couldn't accomplish this dream. Well, look at us. Look at how great we are." They were people. They had the same potential that you and I have to boast, to not give God glory first. I think if this was done in 2020, they would have got on their Facebook and they would have started a really long post. You know, like the long post? And it would have started off with, "I'm not trying to brag, but," right? That's when you know, just keep scrolling. I'm not trying to brag, right? We started from the bottom. Now we're here, right? It's just, that's a song, right? They're just nodding their heads. So awkward right now in this space, right? Just hashtag, "I did it." Hashtag, "Look at me," a nice selfie and posting on Instagram. That's how it would have been done in 2020. Just taking pride in our accomplishments. I mean, does it even count if nobody knows? Does it even count if I just give God glory? I got to make sure that people are aware, that people see me and see how great I am. It's part of our culture, especially today, to build a name for ourselves, to be great, to get recognized. And none of that's inherently wrong. My question for you today is this: who gets the glory first? Who do you give the praise to first? Who is it that you would recognize that all that you have and all that you are accomplishing right now, all the great things, who gets the praise? Who's helping you? And so the people of God, they have a "you did this" attitude. Their first, even their enemies recognized, and they were humiliated, said, the only way that's possible is because God helped you. And I love it. Last week, we celebrated graduates. And my encouragement to you students is as you move into this next season of life, that you continue to give God the praise for all that has been accomplished, that you recognize he is the one who's over your life. And for all of us, parents, if you're married, single, renting, owning, career, waiting for a career, whatever season of life you're in, God gets the glory. So how do we live that out? Well, Nehemiah chapter 8, and the only reason why I skipped chapter 7 is because it is a long list of names, and Lord knows I can't pronounce any of them. So in Nehemiah 7, they just do a census and count all the people that are there. Nehemiah chapter 8 comes along, and it says, on the first day, and that, I think that's important there, because they're recognizing in this month now, on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. Basically, they call all of the Jewish people together, and Ezra, who is a priest at this time, gets the law out. The law would have been at least the Torah, the first five books that were written, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? All the law. He gets them out, and he assembles everybody. And it says, he read it aloud from daybreak till noon. Could you imagine, bro? A sermon that starts at 5 a.m. and keeps going and keeps going. I've got 13 minutes left. I've been speaking for 12, right? Just take that all day. It says, he read from daybreak till noon as we faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Here it is that all the Jewish people, after they have completed the wall and they've counted everybody who was working there, they say, okay, we recognize God helped us. Now let's get everybody together. Let's read from his word. Let's give him glory. Let's prevent pride from getting in our hearts. Let's have a "you did this" attitude. Let's worship God. And you know, let's start early in the morning. Let's get everybody here. Anyone who can understand this, right? They left the toddlers at home. They were in kids zone. Let's get everybody who can understand. Let's gather everybody together. And Ezra's going to read for us the law. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They recount the stories of Egypt, and they recount the crossing of the Red Sea. They recount how God on Mount Sinai gave them this law so that they could enjoy life and not hurt one another. And then in verse 6, we read, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, amen, amen. And then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And I want to take a moment and explain, because maybe you're new to church or you've been to church before, so you're new to Blaze Church. And maybe you've wondered, as we get ready for Live on the Lawn, you're going to see people with their hands up. I'm sweating. Let's just call it out, right? There's air conditioning on. I'm raising my hands anyway. Right? You got to see people with their hands up and they're worshiping God and there are people just shouting out amen. What does that mean? Let me teach you for a moment. That word amen means let it be. So as they are worshiping God, they have their hands lifted as an act of surrender to God, and they're just saying, everything you just read, Ezra, let it be for us. Let God's word just wash over us. That's why we worship with hands up. And I know you might say, I'm not into that. I'm not going to do that. And we're going to pray for you that the Lord would change your heart. That's not what we're going to do. But we recognize that there are moments in Scripture that just call for an act of surrender. Just say, God, I'm so overwhelmed. And at this moment in these people's lives, as they look right now at a completed wall and how God's help caused them to overcome enemies and distractions and opposition. And just a few decades earlier, they were exiles in the land of Babylon. Now they're home in Jerusalem. They're saying, you did this. You did this, God. We could have never done this. Why is it so important that you and I have a "you did this" attitude? We've said it so we prevent pride in our lives so that we are not destroyed. But I want to take it a step further in this next verse. And you're going to see maybe a phrase that you've heard before or said before in church. Here's where it comes from. Here's the origination of this phrase. Because Nehemiah looks out and he sees the people, and some of them are kind of overwhelmed and they're weeping. And it's not like a happy tears. It's like they're being broken over their sinfulness as they're reading the law. But in this moment, there is cause for celebration. So Nehemiah himself says in verse 10, "Go, enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve." And here's this phrase. In fact, say it with me from wherever you're joining from. "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." For the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, if I were to make my own translation, he says, get some choice food, some sweet drinks. Go get yourself some good steaks. Get some vanilla Coke, okay? Get a sweet drink there. And then notice also what he says. He says, make sure you share with those who haven't prepared. That's very different. Because our culture would say that when you celebrate something big that you've accomplished, you put all the focus on you. But a God-first celebration says, I'm going to make sure that others don't go without during this. I'm going to make sure that I'm still taking care of the needs of other people. I'm not going to just have the world turn its gaze on me and I'm going to become a trend. No, I'm going to make sure that I share. Ezra and Nehemiah joined celebration with radical generosity. And Nehemiah says, here's why this matters so much. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, people, you have been building for 52 days. You are tired. You are ready to give out. And the worst thing you could do in this moment is get filled with pride and arrogance and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. That's going to destroy you. You want to have real strength? You need the joy of the Lord. You need to recognize that he is the God who provided for you. He is the God who has given you everything that you have. I need strength for my marriage, for parenting, for pastoring, for being a brother, for being a friend. I need God's strength. And so we see we have the joy of the Lord. We focus our attention on him. Why do we sing this morning, "Worthy is your name"? How awkward would it have been if on the screen, "Worthy is Joe's name"? That would have been weird. I mean, Joe's great. Both Joes are great. But we sing that song about ourselves. I sing that about me. Man, I'm doing so good. Look at all that I'm accomplishing. Look at how much I'm getting done. And it's an unhealthy pride that leads to destruction. I love what the words of James, the brother of Jesus, who did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God when he walked this earth. We see recorded in the Gospels that Jesus returns to his hometown and his brothers do not believe anything he's saying. Post-crucifixion and resurrection, James now refers to himself as a servant of his Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this in James chapter 1, verse 17. "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Every good and perfect gift is from God. Everything that you are experiencing today, the fact that right now you are joining this service on a screen, on a device, it is a good gift from God. Wherever you are watching from, your life is a good gift from him. Your family is a good gift from him. The place you live, where you go to work, nature itself, your body, breath in your lungs, it's a good gift from him. And so I want to invite you to do what I did this past week, a very practical step to build an attitude of gratitude, to combat pride. I want you to take 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. I want you to sit down, get out a piece of paper, right? And I want you to write down as much as you can in 5 minutes, things that you have in your life, right? I took some time, my salvation, my calling, my wife, my kids, Blaze Church, my family, ice cream, coffee, right? Just thought about all the things that I enjoy, all the things that are around me, passions that I have, attitude, characteristics. And then I want you to just write, "You did this. You did this." And I want you to carry this around with you in your pocket this week. Because when you and I are tempted to be filled with pride, When we're tempted to look around us and say, you know, I worked hard for this and chased the American dream and climbed the corporate ladder and the end justifies the means, all of that's narrative that we hear all the time. I want you to remember, no, every good and perfect gift comes from my Father. God did this. He gave me this. The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is how we combat pride in our lives. That's why we're going to close and sing a song called Graves into Gardens, because it is a song that reminds us, as hard as we can try to work, as much as we can try to build and rebuild, there is only one God who has the power to resurrect things. There is only one God who can truly transform things. There is only one Father who does not change like a shifting shadow, as James says, who gives us every good and perfect gift. He's the God that we worship. He's the one that we cry out to. He's the one who's helping you. Your career, your identity, your successes, your education, it's amazing. But just remember, you're doing nothing right now to sustain your lungs breathing. You're doing nothing right now to keep blood pumping. God fashioned you. God made you. God put you at this point in human history for a reason. Created on purpose for a purpose. Your hands, your eyes, all of it. God made you. So we give him glory. See, when we have that perspective, when we start saying, wow, it's all from him. You did this. Things find their proper place. That's what happened to a man named Paul. Paul was a man who accomplished amazing things, great things. He had a resume that would blow anybody away in his day. In fact, he says in Philippians chapter 3, I love it. There's a little bit of arrogance there. He says, indeed, if others have reasons for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. He's writing this letter coming against these people who are trying to say, you don't deserve to be a pastor and a church planter and all this. And he ends up listing in the following sentences how he was a Pharisee among Pharisees, how he's a true-blooded Jew, how he is a Roman citizen, how he was respected, a religious leader. He had everything. He lists it all. And then in verse 7, he pivots and he says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless. How in the world can you consider all of your accomplishments worthless? Because of what Christ has done. Because of the name of Jesus. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And he just goes right in. He says, for his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. It's garbage. And it seems so strong in his language, but when you get a true perspective of the cross of Jesus Christ, when you recognize that apart from the saving work of Jesus, you are lost in your sins, you could have the best job, the best marriage, the best children, the best financial accounts, but apart from Jesus, it's temporary. It's garbage. When I stack all of my accomplishments up against the work of Christ on the cross, him resurrecting from the grave, all of that finds its proper place. I can now enjoy every good and perfect gift without attaching my identity to those good and perfect gifts. I can now boast in Jesus instead of boasting in those other things. That's why Paul went on to say to another church, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm going to boast, he's saying, I'm going to boast in the cross. That will be my place of boasting. And so for you and I today, with the temptation to boast before us every day, to get online, to text our friends, to let others know of how great we are, what if we say, first, I'm going to let everyone know how great he is. I'm going to recognize that everything that I have, everything that is accomplished, it all comes from him. It's what the people of Jerusalem did when they had the greatest opportunity to boast of a wall completed in less than 2 months. And Nehemiah says, no, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We are going to worship our God. We are going to give him praise. We are going to give him glory. As I was praying about today, I sat down and I asked the Holy Spirit, because he knows you better than I do. He sees you right now. We're not even in the same space in this moment. And I genuinely started just praying, and I sat there with my notebook open blank, and I said, Lord, what are the specific areas for people who will be at Blaze Church on June 28th, 2020, the areas where we most are missing this? Right? Because I can't hit all of them. I don't want to just throw a bunch of darts out there and hope that something hits a bullseye. I ask, Lord, where's the areas where we are most prone to taking pride in our lives? And I felt that there were three specifics where, at least in this church, in this context, where we can most take pride. And the first is parenting. And maybe that's just because I know that's an area for me where I can just feel so proud as a parent, and I can be so worried as a parent. Because, you know, pride is deceptive. It's not just that we're proud, but also that we overthink. Also that it dominates our thoughts and minds. And so if today you're struggling, you're afraid as a parent, you're nervous about what's going to happen to your children, right? We're all kind of waiting to see what in the world happens next for school. What takes place here? What's the next mandate? What's the next restriction? What's going to be imposed on my kids? I want you today to just be reminded. They're His. Your children aren't really yours. My kids belong to God first. They're His. He created them. He loves them way more than I ever could. I'm flawed as a father. He's their perfectly heavenly Father. He has a good plan for their life. And I believe that if we can take a shot at the pride of parenting and let God just remind us, hold on, they're for me. They're on loan. Your job is to point them to me. We're going to see pride decrease. Another area that's so easy is in our careers. It's in our jobs. It's feeling so proud when we've made it, when we've accomplished something, when people know us. And at the same time, that pride on the opposite spectrum to say, I'm so defeated. I'm so self-focused because I didn't get the job, because I have no worth, because I hate where I work. Both are paths to destruction. Would you recognize today that God formed you, that He knows you, that He made you, that He gave you hands, that He fills your lungs with breath so that you might work and give Him the glory for whatever your job looks like? And the third, I think the most dangerous, at least according to Jesus, is our finances. It's our money. It is so easy for us to be filled with pride when it comes to our finances. And that presents itself in so many different ways. Maybe for you, it's just that pride of security and saving and hoarding and making sure that there's always enough and just a little bit more. And I really can't give yet. I got to make sure that I'm taking care of my family and all of this. And Jesus says, don't you know in Matthew chapter 6 that your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs? Seek His kingdom first. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. God is providing for you. He is your provider. You're free to be radically generous. You're free to trust Him. You're free to not have to be slave to debt and think that you need to build an identity by having stuff. And so I'm praying that today there is freedom happening right now, that the Holy Spirit is just kind of poking at our hearts and saying that there it is. It's with parenting. It's with your job. It's with your finances. Surrender to God. Church, take the time this week to make that list. 5 minutes. Write down the things that are happening in you and around you and recognize that He is the one who has done it. I want to pray for you right now that you would have a humble attitude. I want to pray that you would give God glory for everything. And team, you can join me up here as we get ready to worship God and for the joy of the Lord to be our strength this morning as we sing this song out. We're going to sing this song again at Live on the Lawn. And so you're hearing it now, and we're excited for you to join us at 11:30 this morning. And I got a message that I want to share called "The Stone Will Roll." So make it a point to come out today. Right now, let me pray for you that you'd have a humble attitude, that you and I would give glory to God, that we would recognize everything that we see around us, every accomplishment, every dream seen, every goal met is because of the help of our God. And so, Father, I pray right now for every person worshiping you, not just watching, not just joining and taking in, but Lord, we are worshiping you because joy in you is truly where we find our strength. I pray, Lord, that you would create in us a humble heart, create in us a passion to give you glory, a passion to recognize that you are the God who helps. You are the God who gives us every perfect and good gift. Lord, I combat pride in those areas of parenting, career, and finances. I pray, Lord, that we would start to take the practical steps that you're calling us to take, to surrender our children to you, to not find our identity or worth in our jobs, to trust you with everything you've given us. God, not just 10%, but all of it, it's yours. Help us to manage what you've given us well, to honor you. In your name we pray. Maybe today you don't boast in the cross because you don't know Jesus as Savior. And so I want to invite you to put your faith in him right in this moment. Wherever you are worshiping from, just say this prayer, Jesus, I'm a sinner who needs saving. I want to boast in the cross. If you continue to boast in your name and yourself, you are living for a temporary thing. Jesus overcame the grave. He's the God we're going to sing about right now that takes graves and turns them into gardens. He's the God who overcame all the sin and death in our lives. And so don't miss this opportunity to put your faith in him. To follow your chat host right now as they're inviting you to go to blazechurch.org/decision and make a decision to follow Jesus.